for the Newsmaker segment.
A different guest and topic daily
on KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM.
Live and local.
KVOE.
Live and local.
1400 AM, 96.9 FM presents In the Garden with K-State Extension horticulturalist Travis Carmichael.
And Travis is here and in the house and ready to field your questions in the garden this morning. KVOE, Travis is with us every Thursday morning at 11:06, and our In the Garden program brought to you by Fowler's Flowers Garden Center, opening soon for the 2025 season at 801 West 6th Avenue. Stay tuned for opening day details there. By Waters Hardware, and right now save up to $120 after rebate on the Husqvarna chainsaws and trimmers at Waters Hardware. Also brought to you by Grove Gardens for the best selection of plants, pottery, and produce. Head to Grove Gardens at 401 West Main in Council Grove. Also by the Emporia Farmers Market. Join them at Waters Hardware the first and third Saturdays for the indoor farmers market through April. And then they'll be downtown at the Emporia Farmers Market. By Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate. For all of your real estate needs, buying or selling, contact Judy Turner, Farm and Home Real Estate, 344-6165. And by Jeff and Bree Williams of REMAX Eck Real Estate. Yeah, don't wait. Spring into action. Make your move with Jeff and Bree and REMAX Eck Real Estate. Call 341-7653. Travis, good morning.
Good morning, Ron.
How are you?
I'm good, and you?
Doing good. Well, nice little rain. Not much, but we got some.
We'll take it. So settle the dust a bit. That will be helpful.
No kidding, yeah, but just about a tenth of an inch here so far this morning, so.
Perfect.
We'll keep our fingers crossed. Maybe more on the way tonight, and it looks like possibly this weekend. But a warm day today. We're going to almost hit 90, they say, later on today.
I know. That's going to really start pushing some things. Stuff's already kind of popping into spring and leafing out, so almost 90 degrees will get things kickstart. Might shock a few things.
Oh, if it could be.
With that, so yeah, we'll continue to hope we see some more precipitation over the next few days and this weekend to really help with that, because we are area-wide, we are dry.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We do need some rain, so hopefully, especially this weekend, looks like we have a pretty good chance of precip, and
yes,
and temperatures should be more normal, they say, on Sunday, because this time of the year, I think the average daytime high is around 62, something like that, not 90.
I know, we're blowing that out of the water now, aren't we? So
obviously, with temperatures this high, too, that increases the soil temperature, I would think, right?
It does. When we get that warm, and of course, a lot of sunshine beating down, that does. It increases the soil temperature quicker. So, haven't looked this week yet, but I am going to guess, knowing what it's been the last couple weeks, we're pushing the limits, and things are going to be ready to go, and that soil's just going to be primed for everything we put in there. So, we might have a season here where you can start a little bit earlier on some of our crops, because the ground temp's going to be there. The biggest thing then we'll just have to watch, because Mother Nature likes to throw us curveballs, is any of those late frosts we may get between now and the middle to end of April. So, we can always see those between now and even 1st of May. So, you can get going, but just be prepared. You may have to cover some stuff depending what you got in the ground.
Well, you bring up a good point, because this weekend, Sunday night down to 36 and Monday night down to 38. So we're not quite there, but we're close.
We're close. Yeah. So most of our coal crops that we, if you've been getting those out there, so the cabbage, cauliflower, broccoli, those things, they can handle that. But if we have any of the warmer season things, it's not going frost per se, but when things get that low, they don't like it. So you may have to still do some covering or moving stuff around if they're in containers.
Well, all the garden centers, selling the plants are, they're ready to go.
They are.
So a lot of people are in getting what they're going to be planting and ready to get that in the ground. And that's why Travis is here, is to answer any questions you may have, because it's time to go.
Yes. It's go time.
Getting things planted. Yeah, the wife and I, my wife was cleaning out the beds last weekend, and I think we got three big garbage bags full of leaves and debris, you know, from last year out. And now ready to go. Just have to figure out exactly what we want to put in the ground.
Always a good question, isn't it? That's a million-dollar question for most.
All right, 620-342-5863. 342-KVOE is our number. We'd love to hear from you. Any questions? Travis is here in studio, and he's a nice guy. He'll answer those questions for you. So 342-5863. And we want to kick things off. Let's see. Let's talk about fruit trees here this morning and protecting fruit trees. Travis?
Yeah, so anyone who has been growing fruit trees for a while know that there's always a host of potential problems with them, whether that's insects or fungus. We're going to hit on like our apples and pears, and then we'll talk about peaches in that, because, you know, everyone wants to grow peaches and apricots, and I guess we'll just start on those because this is a shorter list than it is when we talk apples. But when it comes to like peaches and apricots, and we can throw nectarines in there because the difference between a peach and a nectarine is a peach is fuzzy, a nectarine is not.
Okay.
The only difference.
That's it.
Is our late season frosts tend to just wreak havoc on those. Peaches, apricots, and nectarines have what we call a short chilling requirement. So how long they have to go through winter before they'll flower. And they have some of the shortest days versus apples and pears and plums.
Okay.
So they're getting ready, and so are the others, getting ready to start pushing out flowers. And then never fails, we get a frost. And flowers are extremely sensitive to freezing. And so, and even if it's a very young, if it got pollinated, if it's very young in producing that fruit, that period is so crucial that we don't get a frost during that time. And so for most homeowners, we end up losing, either losing the crop, or you maybe only get a half a dozen, if you're lucky, a fruit. So, you know, orchards, when they go through this, if they're huge producers, they have ways to help reduce that likelihood. If you've ever been out traveling, like say in California through Sonoma Valley or some of the other areas that have fruit trees or even grapes, they may have like wind turbines out in the middle of the orchard. What that does, that helps mix the air so the frost won't land. Or they'll put burn barrel. They're called burn barrels, but they're filled with oil or other fluids that will burn, and they light those so the heat keeps that frost from settling. Or you can run water. The act of freezing water actually gives off heat.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Yeah, so you keep putting that layer on, and every time that layer of water freezes, it gives heat, protects the bud. So there's different ways to handle that, but that tends to be the problem with our peaches and those. But if you get lucky, because some years we do. Some years we have great springs. We don't get that late freeze. If we do, everything is developed enough that it can keep on going. If you've had issues with fungus and insects in that, once you know that the fruit is starting to grow, then you can go ahead and spray. And that is also, we'll talk about that with the apples briefly too. We don't want to do any spraying right now when they're starting to bud out and bloom, because most of our fruit tree sprays that we recommend also contain insecticides. So we don't want to kill our pollinators. We can use separate sprays that are just fungicides, but a lot of times it's easier to purchase what is called fruit tree spray. It's like a 3-in-1. There's a lot of times an insecticide, a fungicide, there might be a miticide or something else mixed in there as well. So it's a 2-for or a 3-for mixture, and it's just easier to apply those instead of, I got a bottle for this, and so those work great, but we do have to watch when we apply them because of the pollinators and the bees. So on like the peaches, if you know that you didn't lose any, things are starting to form, then you can start spraying the items, especially for if you've had any fungus in the past. Big thing is regardless whether it's peaches or apples, once you start spraying, you're going to spray every 2 weeks up until about a couple weeks prior to harvest. So you do have to read the label. It does vary. It could be spraying every 10 days to 2 weeks. That's kind of the general time frame. You don't want to miss that interval window that is listed on the label, because if you do, you've opened the plant up for that disease or the insects to come in, and then now it's harder to control, especially on fungus, because all of our controls are preventative, not curative. So once it starts, it's kind of there. But that goes the same thing for even apples. We're not going to put anything down until after we've seen all the blossoms drop. And then that's when we start spraying. You're going to do that every 10 days to 2 weeks until you get closer to a couple weeks or so before harvest. Double check again that label. It does tell you in there what's called a harvest interval. That will tell you how long you have to stop spraying before you can harvest the mature fruit. So by the time we get to that point, if you get a little bit of fungus in that growing, it's not going to be as detrimental as it could be during this time. I make it sound like it can be bad, but most of our funguses that attack our fruit trees don't kill them. It can just reduce the vigor of the plant, and then them putting that fruit on, that's a lot of stress on those plants. Sure. So trying to keep that pulled back a bit will help with the production of the fruit and that. So just keep that in mind during those time frames. Generally also, though, on the apples, by the time we get to May, you can kind of stop on those too, because most of the threats are gone. We're kind of outside of those windows of the insects, like caudaline moth. That's a big one in apples. That's what gives you the worm in the apple is caudaline moth. And then also a lot of our fungus is kind of, the activity slowed down because we no longer have all the elements that line up for it to happen. So just kind of keep that in mind. I've had individuals that will continue to spray even their apple trees up until they're ready to harvest. It is up to the individual and the issues you've had in the past. But just know we are getting into that prime time of, if you have them, be watching them. We're going to be blooming here before too long, especially if we continue with 90-degree days. just know, once you do start spraying, you're going to keep doing that. It's a regimen, and you want to keep at it until you get outside those windows of vulnerability to stop.
And obviously, you heard Travis say this on a number of occasions already this morning. Read the label.
Yeah, it's a biggie. It tells you mixing rates, proper mixing rates, not just pour and go.
Pour and go.
Yeah, what we always refer to as the glug-glug method. It tells you correct mixing rates. It tells you if you need to wear certain protective materials. You know, safety is key. We were talking about this with Master Gardeners with some of the things we're doing right now. But generally on most of the labels, the minimum is long sleeves, long pants, closed-toe shoes, gloves. Those are your main protective things. And then if you get any on you, wash as soon as you can. And when I say wash, get the clothes off, get that through the laundry, and shower. That way it's off of you. But it will tell you if you have to have a respirator or whatnot. Most of our homeowner products,
protective eyewear, things like that.
Most of our homeowner products don't go that in depth. You have to have a license to have when they get more that. But always check those things out. But yeah, because it does say, again, the mixing rate, any protective equipment you need to wear, and then any harvest intervals, especially when we're now working with fruits and vegetables that time of year, you want to know what those are. And if you're concerned about re-entry to the area, that's in there as well. So if you're going to be back out there with kids and pets, it will tell you how long to wait before it's safe to walk through those areas.
And if you have any questions on label reading, I should say, Travis would be happy to help you out.
Bring them over. We'll go through them with you too. If you have the label, I've done that with several folks. If they're confused, bring the product and the label with you. We'll open that little booklet that's attached to the back, and we'll help you understand it.
All right. This is In the Garden. He is Travis Carmichael. Our number, 620-342-5863. We'd love to hear from you. Any questions? Travis is here to help you out best he can. Back with more of In the Garden right after this. Professionalism, expertise, and experience. Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate is ready to help you with a spring and summer housing market. Whether it's buying or selling, may your walls know joy, may every room hold laughter, and every window open to great possibility. Let Judy Turner at Farm and Home Real Estate help you find that perfect home and sell your existing home. Contact Judy Turner, Farm and Home Real Estate, 620-344-6165.
You can feel spring in the air, and Grove Gardens is open to help you bring color back to your life. Grove Gardens carries an unrivaled selection of plants, pottery, and produce, all nestled in the beautiful Flint Hills and Council Grove. Stay up to date on the latest offerings of locally grown plants, tropicals, houseplants, produce, and workshops by following their Facebook page, Grove Gardens, 401 West Main in Council Grove. Decorate your life with color.
Emporia Farmers Market is looking forward to a great year of markets. We're coming off our best year of sales in more than 15 years, and we look forward to providing the same great service and community experience as we prepare for our 43rd outdoor season. You can expect to find the freshest produce in town, delicious baked goods, fresh eggs, local honey, herbs, frozen meats, flowers, jewelry, and other crafts. The Emporia Farmers Market is a year-round market, so find us indoors at Waters Hardware on the first and third Saturdays each month through April, then downtown starting every Saturday in May. With the friendliest vendors around, shop local at the Emporia Farmers Market.
The Spring Fever Sale is happening now at Waters Hardware. For the best-looking lawn, use the Scotts Lawn Pro 4-Step Program, and now you can save up to $60 with Best Rewards Instant Rebate. You'll save $100 on the Greenworks 21-inch battery push mower, and find TriStar Kansas City and Premium Scotts Grass Seeds all on sale. Call now to reserve your lawn and garden equipment rental for the weekend. And for expert service, see them at Waters Hardware, 2727 West Highway 50 in Emporia.
Fowler's Flowers Garden Center will be opening soon, offering a huge selection of bedding plants, perennials, vegetables, herbs, planters, and vibrant hanging baskets. Shoppers will find 3 cubic foot bags of Fertilum potting soil at the absolute best price in town. A knowledgeable horticulturist will be available to provide expert advice and help gardens thrive. Credit, debit, and checks accepted, but cash is preferred. Make Fowler's Flowers at 801 West 6th your first stop this season. You'll be glad you did.
This is Bree.
And Jeff Williams, Emporia's home team at RE/MAX Eck Real Estate. Spring is here.
We know that the best part of spring is watching your garden bloom.
Let us help you find the perfect home and yard to plant your dreams.
Ready to dig in and find that new home? We are here to guide you every step of the way.
Maybe it's time to downsize or upsize your home. For a free consultation for selling your home and to know its value,
call us today, Emporia's home team, 620-341-7653.
We want you to feel good. Tune in for Feel Good Friday.
Making you feel good.
Friday after the local news during the 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. hours on KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local. In the Garden with K-State Extension horticulturalist Travis Carmichael. KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local.
We are live and we are local, and we are in the garden with Travis Carmichael. Here's where every Thursday morning at 11:05, 342-5863, 342-KVOE. If you have any questions for Travis, he is happy to do the best he can to answer them. Mulching landscape, Travis.
Yes. So with the start of spring, you know, a lot of times we either look at refreshing our landscapes with mulch if they're wood-based, or if we're putting one in, we're trying to decide what we want to do. So this has been actually a topic in our office.
Okay.
Amongst some of us coworkers. So we're also going to talk about it this morning as well. So when it comes to mulching, a lot of questions come up. What first off is, one, what's some of the benefits of mulching? And for us, locally, mulching is a great way to help conserve water because it holds moisture into the soil, helps with weeding if it's done properly.
Okay.
And, of course, then it also has some of the aesthetic values to it as well. And then depending on a few other steps, it can also help give some nutrients back into our soil.
Well, there's four benefits right
there. There's four good ones if we're using wood-based mulch.
Okay, there we go.
And so, you know, that becomes a question. What product should we use? I get asked all the time, rock or mulch. For us locally, we do recommend more wood-based mulches. We do see in areas around town where rock has been used, and I'm not going to hate on them for that. Yeah. But rock tends to be harder on our soil, tends to be harder on the plants. It holds heat, so that landscape going into overnight hours don't get to recover like they do from mulch. So that heat is off, always radiating off of those rocks. Think of them like charcoal of a grill when we go into the overnight hours. So middle of summer, you know, it's been 120. Those things have heated up all day, and now it's going
they're still giving off heat.
Yeah, they're still giving off heat, and then we go right back in. So the plant never gets that reprieve from the heat. And then also, you know, that heat then penetrates into soil. That's hard on the root system. It's hard to the shoots as well. It just not always the best thing for us.
Would it help if you had white rocks out there?
From my understanding and teaching, it doesn't matter on the color of the rocks. They hold that heat.
Okay.
You know, we've learned that even in the nursery industry, it doesn't matter what color of the pot the plant's in either. It's still hot on the roots when they're out there in the blazing sun. So it doesn't matter really on that color either. Now, I tend to tell folks if we were back home where I grew up, a lot of times we did use rock. I grew up 3 hours north. Climate's a bit different in the summer. Yeah, it does get hot up there too, but you get some of the northern climates, rocks okay and that. But around here, we tend to stick with the wood-based mulch. Now, the biggest question, though, comes in, do we put down those weed mats that you see all over, the weed barriers? Well, if we're looking at the wood-based mulches, our answer is no. If you're going to be one that wants to put rock down, because rock's so expensive, I'm going to tell you to buy a weed mat and put that down, which does probably make some of my fellow horticulture extension agents from across the state cringe. But if you've not noticed, anytime you put rock down, over time, the soil tends to swallow it up anyway. So if you're wanting to keep it there, we'll put some sort of barrier to help kind of hold it in place. But on the wood-based, I say no, because one, with our clay-based soils, having that wood mulch break down, you're now adding organic matter into the soil. You're helping the soil break up so it can filter water through better. And also, as wood breaks down, a byproduct is some nitrogen put into the soil for plant uptake. Also, one of the downfalls with the weed barriers, and when I started in the industry in high school, we weed matted everything. When we landscaped, we weed matted every landscape we ever did, and so you know, it took a bit to relearn some of these things. But we've also learned since then, and even years since. All those weed mats say that they allow water to move through, and that's a lie.
No, it doesn't.
No, most of the time it's just a barrier. The water stops, it pools, and then it runs down the way before it ever soaks through, unless you've cut a hole for your plants.
Yeah.
Also, depending how it was installed, a lot of times some folks will put the weed mat down, then cut the hole to plant the plants. Well, then they get soil on top of the weed mat. Well, now you've defeated the purpose of the weed mat because you put soil on top of it from planting. So there's that. And then also it doesn't allow the soil to breathe very well. So it also can lead to overwatering because there's the woven plastic weed mats. There's black plastic, which I cringe at that, but that has always also been a very inexpensive one that's on the market. And if you end up putting that down, you should have that was a waste of money. One, it breaks down super quick, so the benefits of the weed mat kind of goes out the window. But if the soil's wet when you put that down, it's never going to dry out. I've done a lot of landscapes over the years, and especially in high school when we would replace weed mat. And any of those plastic ones, it could be bone dry. We'd be in drought, but you pull that up, and it's wet and muddy and gummy underneath because it's not allowing the soil to breathe. So you can run a higher risk of overwatering because you're not allowing that air exchange there. So I don't recommend weed mats, especially with the wood-based mulches.
I guess not, no.
Because we want that to break down. We want that to add to the soil because we all know our soils are so tough around here and clay-based that we want to try to break it up somehow. And that mulch, as it breaks down, will do that ultimately. And then it allows for better water infiltration into the landscape, allows breathing to happen because roots also need oxygen. Don't forget that. Just because they're in the soil doesn't mean there's no air exchange. That's still happening, and that will ultimately help. The biggest thing to remember is proper mulching depth. We should be mulching about 3 to 4 inches deep in our landscapes, and that will help with the weed infiltration there. Also, then if they do form, it'll make it easier to pull. That was also one of the big selling points of the weed mats. It makes weeds easier to pull. But I can tell you I've seen so many dandelions go through those blasted weed mats that it makes it dip more, even more difficult to pull them out because now you're fighting the weed mat and the root system to get it out. So proper depth of mulch will ultimately help you in the long run.
Yeah, so mulch is more than just pouring it out there. I mean, you need to dig, get it down there to start it. So
you just don't flop it out of the bag and rough it around and say, oh, we're good. It should be, at least a good 3 inches deep, if not 4. Now, you may have to, because of our flowers and shrubs, you may have to be a little thin around the base of them because we don't want to bury them in a volcano of mulch, which I've seen that done too. But the rest of the bed should be a good three inches, if not 4, in spots to help with retaining that moisture, helping with weed infiltration for you.
Yeah, and you got to, when you look at the wood, if you're using different colors, obviously of wood too, they tend to fade after a while, but they can normally give you a pretty good season though before the fading kicks in, don't they?
They do, depending on what you use. You know, some people do like the dyed mulches, and that they give you a good season before they fade. I prefer more of a natural look. I'm a cypress mulch guy.
Okay.
So that will get you several more seasons before you really need to consider. So depending what you use, you may not be refreshing that landscape until, you know, three years, depending on what you use. Some of the colored mulch, you might have to put a refresher layer on every year.
Okay.
So, you know, if you know you're going to have to do that, maybe keep it around the 3-inch mark to know, because you don't want to get too deep even when you add the refresher, because if you get too much, then it could cause more problems, but it's just the water infiltration will be more of a issue in the long run.
We're in the garden. We're all in the garden with Travis Carmichael every Thursday morning here at KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, 342-5863, 342-KVOE. I have a few minutes left to give Travis a call, and we'll be back with segment number 3 of In the Garden on KVOE right after this.
This is Bree.
And Jeff Williams, Emporia's home team at RE/MAX Eck Real Estate. Spring is here.
We know that the best part of spring is watching your garden bloom.
Let us help you find the perfect home and yard to plant your dreams.
Ready to dig in and find that new home? We are here to guide you every step of the way.
Maybe it's time to downsize or upsize your home. For a free consultation for selling your home and to know its value,
call us today, Emporia's home team, 620-341-7653.
Emporia Farmers Market is looking forward to a great year of markets. We're coming off our best year of sales in more than 15 years, and we look forward to providing the same great service and community experience as we prepare for our 43rd outdoor season. You can expect to find the freshest produce in town, delicious baked goods, fresh eggs, local honey, herbs, frozen meats, flowers, jewelry, and other crafts. The Emporia Farmers Market is a year-round market, so find us indoors at Waters Hardware on the first and third Saturdays each month through April, then downtown starting every Saturday in May. With the friendliest vendors around, shop local at the Emporia Farmers Market.
You can feel spring in the air, and Grove Gardens is open to help you bring color back to your life. Grove Gardens carries an unrivaled selection of plants, pottery, and produce, all nestled in the beautiful Flint Hills in Council Grove. Stay up to date on the latest offerings of locally grown plants, tropicals, houseplants, produce, and workshops by following their Facebook page, Grove Gardens, 401 West Main in Council Grove. Decorate your life with color.
Fowler's Flowers Garden Center will be opening soon, offering a huge selection of bedding plants, perennials, vegetables, herbs, planters, and vibrant hanging baskets. Shoppers will find 3 cubic foot bags of Fertilum potting soil at the absolute best price in town. A knowledgeable horticulturist will be available to provide expert advice and help gardens thrive. Credit, debit, and checks accepted, but cash is preferred. Make Fowler's Flowers at 801 West 6th your first stop this season. You'll be glad you did.
The Spring Fever Sale is happening now at Waters Hardware. For the best-looking lawn, use the Scotts Lawn Pro 4-Step Program, and now you can save up to $60 with Best Rewards Instant Rebate. You'll save $100 on the Greenworks 21-inch battery push mower, and find TriStar Kansas City and Premium Scotts Grass Seeds all on sale. Call now to reserve your lawn and garden equipment rental for the weekend. And for expert service, see them at Waters Hardware, 2727 West Highway 50 in Emporia.
Professionalism, expertise, and experience. Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate is ready to help you with a spring and summer housing market. Whether it's buying or selling, may your walls know joy, may every room hold laughter, and every window open to great possibility. Let Judy Turner at Farm and Home Real Estate help you find that perfect home and sell your existing home. Contact Judy Turner, Farm and Home Real Estate, 620-344-6165.
In the Garden with K-State Extension horticulturalist Travis Carmichael, KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local.
Welcome back to In the Garden, Travis Carmichael and Ron Thomas here. Travis with us every Thursday morning, K-State Extension horticulturalist. And boy, looking at the text line, we had some severe thunderstorm activity in northern Lyon County here this morning, and some pretty good-sized hail fell there. In fact, unfortunate that the storm this morning did some pretty major damage to the North Lyon County Youth Association building. Broke out a number of windows, it looks like. Goodness. So it was getting nasty there. And of course, that is where they're having their big annual fish fry next weekend. So hopefully they can get things repaired and ready to go. Mm-hmm. Before that happens, we'll have more details on KVOE. Speaking of the text line, Travis, we did have a question texted in here this morning. Question for Travis. I purchased a clematis a few days ago and planted it yesterday. It said it was safe to plant before last frost because it was in dormant stage, but there is some green sprouting, a few inches of it, so do I need to cover it if it's going to frost?
So with it being fairly new, you could. If you didn't get it covered, it should still be okay. It might nip back some of that new growth, but it's not going to kill the plant. They are cold hardy in this region regardless. To save what's currently growing, you could, because it may nip it back a little bit. But since we're really not at the freezing stage with the forecast here, you should be okay to let it continue to grow and be fine without covering it.
Okay.
But yeah, it could be a little tender here at first, but generally it has to be like a hard freeze to kind of set it back any.
Okay, and if you want to text your questions in, no problem there. 620-342-5863, same number as the studio line here, but we'd Love to hear from you. Well, let's talk about landscaping for butterflies and other pollinators. Travis, that's important.
It is important. And if anyone's been following the botanical news lately, the monarchs are not faring so
not
well.
Not thriving, no.
And we're kind of seeing huge reduced numbers in what we would consider the western migration swing, which is through California and down. We're kind of the prime migration route through here. Everything kind of funnels into the Midwest and the Great Plains and then down to Mexico. But there is that western swing, and that's kind of where we're seeing decreased numbers. We're also, I think, seeing decreased numbers through here as well. A lot of folks keep telling me they haven't seen near the amount of butterflies that they've seen in previous years. So we're seeing bigger pushes then to create those habitats. You know, we've gotten to a point in landscaping where all we want are what we consider all the ornamentals, which gets away from some of these beneficial plants for some of our pollinators. And of course, you know, we talk about all sorts of pest problems and whatnot. And so the biggest thing I want the takeaway from this section is, regardless of what I'm going to talk about on plants, because a lot of these are also natives, if we can incorporate some of these into our existing landscapes and work them together with the ornamentals and the fun, what I call the fun stuff, we can also kind of bring back a balance to our ecosystem, which we've hit on this before in previous shows. And so bringing them two together, whether it's you know, bringing in the pollinators, they will also bring other beneficials that will take care of some of the bad insects. Then we're using less spray all around, and we kind of help the ecosystem. But so with butterflies and pollinators, a lot of times it's the same kind of plants, but we kind of look to have kind of a basis of certain plants available. So if we're really focusing on butterflies, we're wanting what's called host plants and nectar plants available. Nectar plants are what the adults are going to feed on. That's what they get their energy as they work through the migration. And that, so a lot of times these are going to be more summertime blooming and into the fall blooming perennials. We can also achieve that with annuals. Not everything has to be a perennial. So some of our annuals work for that as well. And then we have what's known as host plants. These are going to be more leafy type plants. There's going to be some flowers on it as well, but it's places for the butterflies to lay eggs. And then once that young hatches, it's also food then for the caterpillars. And then, of course, we mentioned then we have some of our other plants then, that some of our trees and shrubs that help create some protection from wind and also predators. So having kind of that trifecta is what we're really, really looking for. And we, of course, I can get you all sorts of lists on that. But, you know, just to name a few, if we're looking at nectar plants for some of our butterflies, coneflowers, goldenrod, hey, they're state flower.
Yeah, okay.
Goldenrod, yarrow, sedums, those give nectar to the butterflies, black-eyed Susans. There's several others that we also use as landscape plants.
Are they good for bees too?
Yes. Okay. These are also going to bring out some of our bees. Now, don't be scared. Most of the bees that this is going to bring out, we may see the honeybee, but this will also bring out some of our native bees. They don't swarm and work together with others. Native bees are more solitary. They don't like to be in a colony. So you'll see them by themselves, or you may not notice that it's actually a bee. So regardless what you're doing for butterflies, it's also going to help. Yes, our native bees and honeybees. Honeybees are going to hit them up too.
Don't get
me wrong. But some of those are going to be great sources for those as well. And then if we talk about some of the host plants, some of our different herbs work great for hosts. You know, some of the parsleys and that.
Okay.
Swallowtail larva loves parsley. And some of the monarchs do too. But adding even milkweed in, that's a dual purpose flower into the landscape to bring in those monarchs, because they'll lay their young, they eat on that. The flower also provides nectar as well. So as I mentioned, I can get you those lists if you're wanting to know some of the flowers. You might be surprised. You might have some of them already there, but just continuing to cultivate your landscapes to be a little more inviting to our native plants and native bees, not plants.
Okay.
We want to add native plants too, don't get me wrong, but more inviting for them to come into the landscape in that. And the biggest thing is if you're doing that, it's also a good idea to then start limiting the use of any pesticides you may be using. Because not only are those going to take care of the bad insects, but it's going to harm the ones that we're wanting there as well.
All right. And yeah, the butterflies and the bees need our help.
They do.
Population too has been suffering.
Uh-huh.
You know, so.
Yeah. Very much
good,
so.
Good tips there. Another question texted in here this morning, Travis. And can you use preen on iris beds?
Yes. As long as you have straight preen. There for a while you could get preen that was also mixed with granular 2,4-D or maybe a weed killer. I wouldn't recommend that. But straight preen, yes, you can.
That is, yes, good. All right. We appreciate your questions here this morning. Travis with us every Thursday morning in the garden. A lot of great information here again this morning. Travis, if folks want to get a hold of you during the week, how can they do that?
Well, you can either stop by the Lyon County Extension Office on West Highway 50, where you are right across from Goods Cash Saver or right next to the Lyon County Fairgrounds, or you can give me a call at 620-341-3220.
And our In the Garden program brought to you by the Emporia Farmers Market, featuring the best of homegrown, homemade, and handmade since 1982 by Jeff and Bree Williams of Remax Eck Real Estate. Don't wait. Spring into action. Make your move with Jeff and Bree. Call 341-7653. By Grove Gardens in Council Grove. They help you decorate your life with color. All kinds of it. Head to Grove Gardens, 401 West Main in Council Grove. They had a lot. They've got a lot of neat stuff there for you to look over. By Waters Hardware. Don't have what you need for that big job? Well, Waters has it. In their extensive rental department, Waters Hardware, 2727 West Highway 50. By Judy Turner, Farm and Home Real Estate. For all of your real estate needs, buying or selling, contact Judy Turner, Farm and Home Real Estate, 344-6165. By Fowler's Flowers Garden Center, opening soon for the 2025 season at 801 West 6th. Stay tuned for opening day details. Thank you much, Travis. We'll talk to you next week.
We'll talk to you then.
Thursday morning in the garden. Travis Carmichael here at KVOE. It is 11:50.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and another wave of federal job cuts, health and human